The election in Iraq is little more than a month away, and the run-up to the voting continues to be beset by violence. Yesterday, more than a dozen people were killed in Baghdad in an assassination attempt against the head of one of the country's strongest Shiite parties. A car bomb tried to drive through the gate of the home of Abdul Aziz al-Hakim. That residence once belonged to Saddam Hussein's deputy prime minister, Tariq Aziz. He's been in prison since shortly after the U.S.-led invasion. From Baghdad, NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro reports on his life behind bars.
It has taken 20 months for Aziz's lawyer, Badi Izzat Arif, to have his first meeting with his client, who's being held by U.S. authorities in a prison somewhere in the vicinity of Baghdad International Airport. But now that he has finally, Arif denies rumors that Aziz was trying to cut a deal and would turn on his former benefactor. "I am not ready to testify against President Saddam Hussein," Aziz wrote in English in a note he handed to his lawyer. "I will not say anything that contradicts with my conscience and honor." The note was signed and dated. There have also been reports that Aziz suffered two heart attacks while in the custody of U.S. forces, but Arif says he was surprised by how well his client seemed.
He had a very high morale, and that amazed me. His health is good, but the clothes he had on were summer clothes, and the weather was very cold. I brought him clothes and other things from his family, coats and Arabian gown. When he heard about them, he was very, very happy, with the clothes more than with the other gifts, cigarettes and biscuits. He asked where they were.
Arif says that the American soldiers guarding Aziz refused to allow him to give Aziz the items he had brought. According to Arif, this infuriated Aziz, and he had, quote, a very violent reaction. The soldiers apparently wanted to get authorization from the head of the Iraqi tribunal before handing the items to him. The U.S. authorities also withheld a letter from Aziz's wife, Violet, who's currently living in Jordan. Arif reads from it.
Dear husband, we miss you very much, and we worry about your health. Everybody is fine. We want to try to see you or hear your voice, but things are difficult, difficult, difficult. But God will help me, I hope.
Arif maintains that he is defending Aziz for free and that the family is destitute. Arif says that Aziz kept asking about his family throughout the meeting.
He was very eager. He asked, "Have you seen my wife?" I said, "No." And then he asked me again later, "Have you seen my wife?" I said, "No." "Who have you seen?" he wanted to know.
Arif met with the former deputy prime minister in a gray 12-by-12-foot cell for about 5 hours. There was a table and two chairs. American guards were in the room at all times. As quoted by Arif, Aziz says he's being treated well.
Their treatment is good. Their food is very good. They get 3 showers per week. They can go to the bathroom 3 to 4 times a day. The food is mostly American: meat, chicken, eggs, macaroni, coffee and tea. They get sweets for lunch.
Arif says that Aziz, who speaks fluent English, gets on well with his captors.
When his handkerchief fell, they ran and picked it up for him. But he told me that he doesn't trust them, that they only do it to be polite.
Aziz was captured 2 weeks after the fall of Baghdad. He's being held with 11 other senior Saddam officials. Among them is Ali Hassan al-Majid, so-called Chemical Ali, who had a preliminary investigative hearing last week. After Saddam, Tariq Aziz was one of the most internationally recognized faces of the Hussein regime. He was the foreign minister in the first Gulf War. In the second, he was deputy prime minister. A Chaldean Catholic, he changed his name from Michael Yohana to Tariq Aziz at the very beginning of his career. Aziz showed emotion only once, according to Arif.
It made him so happy to hear the wonderful news that his grandchildren sent their Christmas wishes. A tear rolled down his cheek.
Aziz is being charged with, among other things, genocide. When asked if he displayed remorse or regrets, Arif said no.
He never spoke about that. He said that we were a legitimate government and defended the country with what we could. Any other respectable government would have done the same, he said.
It's not known when his trial will begin. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Baghdad.